It's time for the Catalyst Midweek Podcast, where we continue the conversation from this past week's message.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Midweek Podcast. We are continuing the conversation from this past week's sermon. I'm Rob Harlemer. I'm the youth minister here. This is John Kelly, the discipleship minister. So, John, you actually got to preach this Sunday. When we do this podcast, the two staff members that talk about it is the ones that don't preach. But you have the rare opportunity.
I know. I get to, like, critique myself.
You get to talk about yourself.
I, like, just get to totally dog myself out for every wrong thing I said on Sunday.
We don't want that because...
Well, yeah. Well, it's just because Dave got to go scuba diving.
Whatever.
So, I mean, he's a pretty lucky guy if you ask me.
Yeah, but he doesn't get to sit here with John Kelly and drink coffee.
Yeah, tell me about it. Wow, you are one lucky person.
I am. I'm very lucky. So this week you talked about James 3,
yep,
which was taming the tongue. Did you enjoy this?
Yeah. It was one of those sermons everybody kind of wants to preach.
I know.
And honestly, when Dave originally had the calendar set up, I was supposed to preach the week before.
I know.
You were supposed to preach on the tongue. And we moved Youth Sunday so that you could preach the week before because all of your kids were going to be gone the next week and you'd have no youth band.
Which is really good because none of my students were there Sunday. Even though Youth Sunday was incredible, I was very jealous of your opportunity to preach on this topic.
I
was like, duh. Yeah. I mean, win-win.
Thing for me about this sermon that I really enjoyed too was I don't think that we're in an extremely verbal society as far as person-to-person interaction. I think we're more of a keyboard society.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what I talked about, and you heard that on Sunday, was just the keyboard warrior and that kind of thing. And that was where a lot of what I wanted to talk about on this came from. I mean, with you being a youth minister, high school kids especially, man, that's where almost all their communication comes from.
Yes. But it's different than people... my age, being a middle of the millennial generation and up, mm-hmm. we grew up with not really social media, and it was kind of this awkward thing. And when we got to, like, some of us were already in end of high school and college, and some of us were, like, in middle school coming up through high school when the social media thing came out, and we didn't know about it. There's no rules. There's not, like, mm-hmm. these unspoken rules about it. And the keyboard warrior was not a thing.
No.
Because there's almost like a more of a, I don't know if it was fear or just like we didn't understand it enough to be like, oh, we're going to be posting all day, we're going to be commenting all day, we're going to be liking all day, we're going to be on this thing all day. So youth ministry, like with the students, they're kind of where we were when it first came out.
Right.
Like they're almost terrified to post. Like when I talk to my students, they post like on like Instagram
mm-hmm.
where... Yeah. Now I don't do it as much, but some people, they post like, you have over 1,000 posts of like most of your kids, you know, people my age and older, they post like, you know, 2-3 photos a week, sometimes one a day. And it's just whatever you want. That's fine. But these students, it's like, oh, I don't.
They're self-conscious.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. You and I have talked about this before, that if they get negative feedback on a post, their world is over.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to do everything they can to recover from what just happened.
Yeah.
From a negative post.
Yeah. Or they'll just delete it. They're just like, it's not worth it. I'll just delete it. Which is, there's a lot of wisdom in that.
Mm-hmm. There is sometimes.
There is a lot of wisdom in that. Like, okay, this isn't going the way I wanted. Maybe I should just delete it and mm-hmm. We don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
The keyboard warrior is somebody who doesn't value anyone.
Right.
When it comes to an online presence. Now, when you talk to somebody face to face, they could interact with you so differently
mm-hmm.
than if you interact with them online. And sometimes you could be having two different conversations with somebody. Like you could be calling somebody and they're commenting on your Facebook post and you're getting two different people.
Yeah.
And that's, I thought it was so good how you tied in the taming of the tongue. With that, because it's not just tongue anymore.
Mm-mm.
It's what you're saying online.
It's your fingertips. Yeah, it's your fingertips. And that was kind of the thing for me was I've just noticed, probably in the last 10 years especially, just I mean, everybody has a cause they fight for now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back when I first started working with what was known as Active Water at the time,
mm-hmm.
it sort of helped my buddy Darren with stuff like that. You didn't have a lot of people online with Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that doing a lot of these activist type of things.
Yeah.
Well, now every single person's birthday, Facebook's made it so everybody can be an activist on their birthday.
Yep.
And so everybody's got something they're passionate about.
Yeah.
Passionate about.
Yeah.
And then the people who are really passionate, they can be so passionate to the point of where if you aren't as passionate as they are, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And then it gets ugly. And that's where... that's what I was trying to hit on with some of this is just the fact that sometimes we get so caught up in what we think and our opinions and our ideals that we push those on other people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking from a Christian aspect even. I'm just talking about personal charitable causes that yes. we think are fantastic and important, and we shove them down other people's throats to the point of where it actually gets kind of ugly.
Yeah.
And people become casualties along the way.
Yeah.
And just being able to say, hold up a second, is this really the route I want to go? Is this really how I want to attack somebody? And do I really need to be attacking anybody in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Dave touched on it 2 weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago, where you talked about the more passionate you are about something, the lonelier you are.
Yeah.
And I think some people just don't realize that. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you're passionate about something, it's not a bad thing you're passionate about it.
Right.
It's really not. Like, some of these things are very, very important that are good causes in the world that people really do need help.
Mm-hmm.
But there's unlimited need. And just because you're passionate about this group of people or somebody else is passionate about another group of people, it doesn't mean that the other person is wrong. But online, when you don't understand like how it's coming out of their mouth, you just see a sentence. There's no emotion. You can't put any emotion into a sentence, really.
Yeah.
We got emojis now, which can be taken a thousand different ways. We get these people who really think that other people are attacking them, when sometimes they are, which is good.
That's true.
And sometimes there's just this big miscommunication, and that's where you brought up this... this story about World War II.
Which, I'm just going to be transparent right now. He gave me that story. We were just talking about the sermon. I'm giving you credit here because I can't take credit for this because I knew nothing of this story.
Yeah.
And then we were talking and you just kind of mentioned, yeah, there was something that happened in Japan. And and so why don't you kind of fill everybody in on kind of the story and all that.
So there was, during World War II, coming to the end, the Allied forces, the United States, wanted to end it. They got fed up with it, and they're just like, well, we could end this really fast. But, you know, even in war, I think the ideal situation is surrender in all things. Like, you don't want to obliterate human life. Like, that's not good.
No.
So they sent a very harsh letter to Japan, hopefully to get a response of like, okay, we're just gonna give up. We'll surrender. We don't want to come to that. But
this was also 5 years or 4 years after... Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on. I mean, there's been this war that's been going on forever.
Yeah.
It's getting terrible. And the response back from the Japanese, can you say the word?
Yes, mokusatsu.
Mokusatsu.
Satsu.
Satsu.
Yes.
Which can be translated to a couple different things.
Yeah, actually like three or four different things, really.
But the American translator took it as probably the most harshest... translation,
yeah,
and
let's
I think
ignore it. It was basically let's ignore it.
Let's ignore it, and I think they did that. And this is what you said in your sermon. They did that because of past experiences with the Japanese. It's like, well, there's no way that there could be any remorse whatsoever in their minds because of everything that they've done for the past four years, especially with Pearl Harbor being in everyone's lifetime.
Yeah. Well, and just 10 days later.
Yeah,
Hiroshima, and then a few days after that. You got Nagasaki.
Yeah.
That happens. But going back to kind of what you said about the past transgressions, that was something I really wanted to hit on because the whole overarching theme of this thing was we have to control our tongues because if we want to reach people with the gospel,
yeah,
we have to earn that ability. We have to earn that right. I hope I communicated that well enough, but it was just this idea that if we can't control our tongue,
mm-hmm.
no one's going to listen.
No.
And with this situation with Suzuki, the prime minister of Japan at the time, this guy had done so many awful things that just the slightest word out of line, and sure enough, everybody was going to turn on him. Like, it was there's no chance.
Mm-hmm.
And I take it back to take a marriage that's been struggling for years and years and years. They've been fighting, and the wife looks at her husband, and she says, "Does this make me look fat?" And he pauses and then says, "No, it doesn't make you look fat." Well, she's going to focus on that pause because of his past transgressions, not on the reality of he doesn't really think she looks fat in that dress.
Yeah.
And if you know, two friends are talking who've just been having it out for a while, and they ask a question, the person responds honestly in what they think is a kind way, it can be completely construed another way.
Yeah.
And all because of everything that's been done up to that point. And that's why we have to have a track record of knowing how to use our words.
Yeah.
And knowing how to treat people, because it's so easy for our words to be translated in a way other than we meant for it to be translated. I would have loved to have been able to spend more time on that on Sunday, but there just wasn't enough time to really talk about that.
Yeah, I, from a personal standpoint, I know that, going back to the keyboard warrior, because I feel like that's something that a lot of people deal with and they see on a daily basis. I think the younger generation, people in youth group and below, don't experience that as much because they just won't follow you. Like, it's not very, but for some reason we have this mentality that you have to continue to follow everyone. If you unfollow somebody, then you hate them, when that's not the case. You just don't want to see their posts.
Yeah, we've changed it so that online friendships on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, or any of that all of a sudden means it's a real
friendship.
And it's a typed friendship.
It's a
digital friendship. It's really not the same. But I don't think we understand what friendship is today.
But I don't think that people fully understand the consequences of their actions online.
Mm-hmm.
Especially people like in the church or people you see every day, like, they could be just going to town about some reason, political or about sports, about school stuff, and then you see them, it's like, man, if I was on the receiving end of that, I would hate it.
Yeah.
And that's
absolutely
And I say this all the time, like, I really hope that I don't receive any sort of fame at any time in my life.
Oh yeah.
Because, man, you see these, like, especially UK, you know, UK just lost in the tournament, which stinks for people who are UK fans. But some of the things that people were saying about some of the players, about the coach, about the refs, like, I would hate to be in that situation, because all of a sudden people are just destroying your name. Like, if I had any fame, I would never Google myself. I would be like, I don't want to know what people are saying.
I don't want to see all that stuff.
But it's like, okay, you're saying.
Hang on a second. Hey, what's up? Oh, hey, Andy. Listen, I'm doing a podcast right now with Rob. Can I call you back? All right, later.
Yeah. Which Andy?
It was Andy Stanley. He's he wanted my notes from the sermon. I told him I'd get them to him later. So.
Stanley. Andy Stanley.
Andy's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah, Andy Stanley.
Yeah.
Speaking of fame and taking crap, Andy Stanley.
Oh man, that guy's been. He's been chased. He's been taken. Like, people go after him hard.
I know. And
after him so hard.
I don't know how people don't realize that the things that you say online paints a far greater picture in this current day than anything that you do or say in real life. Whenever you are online and you say something that's just terrible about somebody, they're going to remember that in that conversation far more than any experience they ever had with you at any point in your life.
Yeah.
So we really need to make sure that we remember, like, look, you don't have, just because you're right doesn't mean you have to say it. I tell my students all that. I tell my students that all the time. Like, okay, mm-hmm. in this situation, yes, you are right, but you don't have to just completely destroy this person. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Like, you have a greater purpose of sharing Christ with them, and you don't want to squash that because you want to get your two cents in and make sure that you're right.
No, the worst conversations are those ones you have with somebody where you're trying to talk to them, and they're not listening to you because all they're thinking is what they're going to say next.
Mm-hmm.
That just wears you out, because that's not a conversation.
No.
That's almost a battle. It feels like a battle. It may not be a battle, but it feels like it, because it feels like each person is defending something that doesn't need to be defended, but they want to get their next thing in. It's kind of like when you sit with a group of guys and everybody's sharing, like, stories from the good old days, you know, when I played football, I threw a ball 825 yards in one toss, you know, but it's that kind of thing where everybody wants to get that statement in, and man, it makes it really hard to have a conversation with somebody.
It is. And I think your last 3 points in the Bible app, that's what we're following in his points, where he said, you need to consider the cost. In your conversations, you know, what is the win and what is the loss? And I know in leadership, we talk about this all the time. We read the same book in college that talks about you need to find the win-win. Mm-hmm. There's a chart, and if a controversy comes up, you know, you could easily win and the other person would lose. Or you could both blow up and you both lose. You could just give in and they would win, or you can come to a common ground and you guys can both win. And that comes through either you deciding, like, okay, just because I'm right doesn't mean that I have to say something and maybe we can have a decent conversation, or coming to common ground and realizing that your relationship is so much farther more important than somebody winning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the win in taming your tongue is far greater than anything else in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it comes back to I mentioned words last.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm horrible at I mentioned that Dave, he can watch a movie. Our senior minister can watch a movie one time, and he knows 90% of the movie.
Yes.
He can quote it. It's mm-hmm. disgusting.
Yeah.
This dude's photographic memory. It's mm-hmm. it's unbelievable what he can remember. I'm not that guy. I don't remember those things that way. And so it's hard for me to remember things like that. But when somebody says something that matters to me,
mm-hmm.
I never forget it. When somebody who I care about, like my father before he passed away.
That's a good story.
Or a great minister
mm-hmm.
who I've gotten a chance to meet and get to know, like Andy Stanley, says something to me encouraging. I remember those things, you know? I do. I really do remember those things. And it goes the same way the other way. When mm-hmm. someone I really care about says something that cuts deep, it cuts even deeper. And when you think about the win, remember that sometimes your words last a whole lot longer than the moment it takes to say them.
Yeah.
And you have to understand the weight that your words can carry. I hate the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's bull.
Yeah.
Because they absolutely will, and they can be deadly.
Mm-hmm.
I know ministers who have been crippled and never recovered and are out of the ministry. Some are atheists.
Yep.
Because of words that were said to them.
Yeah.
And it's sad that words can carry that kind of weight, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, why would we have the Word of God?
Yeah.
If Word wasn't such a big deal, then why would God give us an entire book mm-hmm. of words?
Yeah.
Words are important.
Yeah.
And they matter. And if you want to have a win, realize that. Because if you can't realize that up front, if you can't understand that what you say can go for years and years and decades. I mean, you think about it, the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah.
You know, you think, one of my favorite movies as a kid was Independence Day, and that whole big speech by the president in Independence Day. Man, I love that speech.
So good.
Certain lines from movies.
Mm-hmm.
There's just song lyrics. There are things that you hear in your lifetime, you never forget them.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lasting impression on you.
Yeah.
The song I Can Only Imagine. I mean,
still huge to this
day. Yeah, it's still the most downloaded song in Christian music.
Yeah.
And it was written like 18 years ago.
Yeah.
18 years ago. Song is still the highest downloaded song in Christian music.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind, but words matter. Yeah. And if we understand that, then we realize why the win is so important.
Yeah. And from a Christian standpoint, and in our call of being the light to the world, if we fully understand how important the gospel is and how we need to share it with everyone, how we need to bring as many people to Christ as possible, I think if we truly understand that, then our tongues and what we say would be far, it would weigh so much heavier on our hearts, mm-hmm. because we wouldn't want to screw that up at all with anyone.
No.
If we viewed everyone as a person that had potential to be with eternity with us, and if we don't, then they're going to go to hell, then I think that what we say and what we do would carry so much more weight.
Well, I think it goes even deeper. I think it's just the fact of, are we okay with people going to hell?
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest with you, there are probably people that go to our churches mm-hmm. across America mm-hmm. who, there are certain people that if they went to hell, they wouldn't be so upset about it.
Yeah.
We have to be in a point where we see people the way Jesus sees people.
Yeah.
It's amazing when we start seeing people the way Christ sees people. It changes the way we think about people. Mm-hmm. And when we change the way we think about people, I think it'll affect the way we talk to people.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, one of the things was check your heart.
Yeah.
Because what's in here is going to come out of here.
Yeah.
Or here, mm-hmm. you know. And for those people listening on the audio podcast, I just pointed at my mouth and my fingers. it really matters.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing of if your heart is in a place where it's focused on what God is focused on, what springs out of your mouth and what springs out of your words is going to reflect that.
Yeah.
When you see someone who is constantly spewing out hatred and anger and gossip and mm-hmm. all these things, it's pretty easy to tell where their heart is right now.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not saying I'm pointing any fingers at anybody or anything like that, but I would dare say you could take a poll, an anonymous poll from a lot of people, and everybody would probably agree.
Oh yeah.
You know, what comes out of your mouth matters because it shows who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I really do think that people, like what you said earlier, the idea of hell isn't in front of people. We had a sermon about that just not too long ago.
Yeah, we did.
And I think really truly caring for people isn't a thing as much. Even people in the church, like, we see these battles between, we're supposed to be a family in the church, and we see these battles between people in the family. Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And we all know that if you have a job, that inner circle of your job, like other businesses that do the same thing as you, you know, you hear about what's going on.
Yeah.
So if you sell tile, you're going to know about the other tile stores in the United States, and mm-hmm. you're going to hear about what's going on and what's big. But being in the church, being a minister, us being a minister on staff, we hear about other churches. We're part of Facebook groups and text message groups and email groups that talk about churches. And you hear these stories of how churches are doing really well and how some are just doing not very good.
Yeah.
And we've seen story after story after story on how churches that were doing so well at one point just come crumbling down because of one word or one sentence or one sermon or one action of verbiage of a communication with somebody. And it's crazy how that's all it takes to destroy an entire congregation.
Yeah.
Is one sentence. Mm-hmm. And if we understood that, we would say, like, well, one person isn't big enough to do that. But from your story with the Japanese,
yeah.
we realize that one word or phrase that was said carries so much more weight.
It really does.
Than what we think.
It really does. I mean, you think about marriages that have ended. It usually comes back to an argument.
Yep.
And that argument leads to another argument, mm-hmm. leads to another argument, leads to another argument. And before too long, all the words that have been said have caused so much damage. I mean, it's just a slaughter.
Yeah.
The marriage has been completely slaughtered, mm-hmm. and there's no recovery.
Mm-mm.
And it all comes back probably to an original conversation where there was an argument over something that probably wasn't as big of a deal as I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a snowball rolling down a ski slope.
Mm-hmm.
It just kept picking up more and more snow and more and more snow. And before too long, it's an avalanche. And it's destroying everything in its path. Mm-hmm. And But it always comes down to that one initial conversation.
Yep.
And it's amazing how they can destroy it. And like, it can destroy our witness.
Yeah.
It can destroy our ability to go into a very dark world and be light.
Yeah.
And that's, I hope that that bothers people.
I hope so.
It's always been like, I hope that bothers people. Yeah. Because it should.
Yeah.
It should bother us. It should be something that we think about.
Mm-hmm.
Am I destroying the ability to talk to people about Christ?
Yeah.
Because I can't keep my mouth shut about everything else.
Yeah. From a family aspect, you have kids.
Mm-hmm.
I do youth ministry now. I did children's ministry before. And I've seen, when you look at a kid and you see how a kid acts, most of the time, you can tell how the parents are.
Except when they're 2 years old. Then they're all just terrible.
Except when they're two.
My daughter's proof of that, man. She's just unreal right now. She's wearing me out.
But I've had students in youth group, and I've had kids in children's ministry, mm-hmm. That what come out of their mouth, I'm like, I know where that came from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes it's friends, sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the majority of the things that come out of their mouth and how they treat people is directly related to the parents. Mm-hmm. So if you have kids, somebody's always watching, whether it's your kids, whether it's a younger person in the church looking to you as a good godly person,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's a non-Christian trying to decide if Christianity is something that they're for or against, they don't look to non-Christians to be like, well, should I be a Christian? No, they look at Christians and say, okay, is that something that I want to be a part of?
Right.
And if they look upon you and you're acting no different than their non-Christian friends,
what's the point?
What's the point? What's the point at all? I think part of the scripture, where it's my favorite part of the scripture, it says the tongue is like a small spark, and how much of a fire can just come from that small spark. And you see, like, with California, like, everybody mm-hmm. now understands how, or the Tennessee one, perfect example. One kid flicked a match, and half of Gatlinburg was
part of Pigeon Forge.
Part of Pigeon Forge Sevierville was burnt down.
Yeah.
All because some kid had a matchbook and flicked it somewhere. And that whole thing just caught up in flames.
Yeah.
And that's a perfect example of what our tongue can do
mm-hmm.
to a group of people, to somebody's life. And it's devastating.
It is. It's absolutely devastating. It was a couple weeks ago, I was working on the sermon and I decided to talk to a good friend of mine.
Was it Andy? Andy Stanley?
Yes, it was. No, it wasn't. Okay, I don't know Andy Stanley.
Okay.
I'll admit that. I don't know Andy Stanley. I think he should know me because I would be very valuable as a friend.
Yeah.
But we don't know each other. But seriously, I was talking to my friend and I said, how do you preach this sermon without browbeating the entire congregation?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it in such a way where everybody doesn't walk out feeling beat up?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you take a look at Christian culture today, that's exactly what we do to each other.
Yes.
You look at any minister with any name, if he says one thing wrong, every other minister is going to jump on him.
I know.
And they're going to beat him down. Not every other minister. It's obviously an over-exaggeration.
Yeah.
But it just it has this feeling like we're just waiting. Yeah, it has a feeling like we're just waiting for the moment.
Yeah.
You know, Andy Stanley, we've talked about him a lot today.
Yeah.
But he's one of those guys that he can't. He has to watch everything he says with such a fine-tooth comb, because if he doesn't,
he's got 200,000 people.
Yeah, they're just gonna come after him.
Yeah,
and it's a shame because he has so much wisdom and so much knowledge to share.
Yeah, so. He does. And I remember a couple years ago, he said something on stage.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about youth ministry,
which we were offended by at first.
At first, yeah, I was like, oh man, that stinks.
Yeah,
like I said, he's talking about like us.
It was kind of disappointing to hear, but yeah.
But he the next day he tweeted like, "Hey, I re-listened to my sermon, and I said something in there that I don't personally agree with.
Mm-hmm.
Because I meant it a completely different way, and I'm sorry." And but he, in the time on a Sunday morning, in the service, where he spoke that, and the next morning during staff meeting at 9 a.m., so less than 24 hours, there was articles posted about him. There was videos on YouTube made about him. There was Twitter posts and Facebook posts all about him. And I could imagine I'd be devastated if I woke up to that news.
Yeah.
And he tried to go and talk to these people who were like the big name bloggers and big name preachers that said something negative about him.
And even some of the ones who were big name. Yeah. He said he even contacted some of the just guys who had said something.
Yeah, and he said 98% of them did not respond back, wouldn't even get back to him.
Mm-hmm. They didn't want to. They wanted to be angry.
They wanted to be angry.
Yeah.
And that blows my mind that if I was a non-Christian looking in on this situation, I would not want to be a part of whatever was going on. Like, obviously, this is not where I want to be.
Yeah, infighting in the church is the worst thing that you can do for the church when it comes to the way the non-Christian sees the church.
Yeah.
I mean, I liken it to the idea of the Marines all of a sudden decide they're going to attack the Army.
Yeah.
Then the Navy decides it's going to attack the Marines, and then the Air Force just bombs everyone.
Yeah.
And the country's going to go in disarray.
Yeah.
We won't be a nation. Someone's going to just swoop in and take over.
Yeah.
And we're not going to be America anymore.
No.
But yet, we wonder why the church, by many pundits, are saying is in decline.
Yeah.
We're wondering why people are leaving churches, why people don't want to be part of Christianity, when a big part of that is because we have so much infighting,
mm-hmm.
so many words that are coming out of people's mouths that are degrading, pulling down, beating down people who are supposed to be our brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you started dating someone and it's getting pretty serious, and in the back of your mind you're thinking, this might be a girl I could marry.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to her family reunion, and all they do the entire time is they fight.
They fight.
Are you going to be part of that family?
No.
You're going, well, so much for marrying that girl. I don't even know want to date her anymore, you know? Because I don't want to be part of that.
No, that's terrible. Yeah.
It's horrible. And yet, that's what's killing us right now. Mm-hmm. And it all comes back to the words coming out of our mouths.
Yeah.
It really does.
This has been such an important subject. And I do wish, one, I wish that I got preached on it. Very jealous. Yeah.
Even Dave said that too.
Yeah, Dave said the same thing. Like, oh, man. But this is, it's such a hard thing to talk about and not just completely browbeat everybody, because whenever you get to preach, you only get to preach on one chapter. And we do know that James eventually does, he's a lot more, he's kind.
Yes, he is.
Than
he is.
Just being like, you guys need to hold your tongue, and you guys stink if you don't. So,
yeah.
No, it was good, and I really appreciate your thoughts on it. I thought you did a very good job of explaining just how important taming the tongue is. And I like how you took it to a next step and said, has an iron-fisted...
Yeah, that's the main thing. You know, the Christian that wins, which is the theme of the whole series, a Christian that wins has an iron-fisted control of their tongue.
I love it, because that's so much... I think that takes it to a next step in what James said.
Yeah, and when you get control of the tongue, then you really get to have an impact, and you really get to have influence. Because I know for our senior Mr. Dave, influence is a big deal.
Yes.
If you want to change the world, you have to have influence.
Yes.
And so I hope that what we talked about today influences you guys. I hope that if you've been listening today, you've picked up on some of this. And if you have any input, feel free to leave comments, shoot us a message, and let us know what you think. But I've definitely enjoyed the conversation today. It's kind of a different way of doing this, being able to talk about something I spoke about, kind of get your input on that.
Yeah.
But it's been a great time. I appreciate what we've been able to do today.
Absolutely.
This is the Midweek Podcast, where we continue the conversation from Sunday's sermon. I'm John, this is Rob, and we'll talk to you next time.